My guest is playwright Adrienne Kennedy. She's written her memoir called People Who Led to My Plays. It's about growing up in a black middle-class family in Cleveland and all the books, movies, and people who influenced her on her way to becoming a playwright. Kennedy studied playwriting with Edward Albee in New York, and he produced her first successful play, Funny House of a Negro. The play won an Obie Award in 1964. Kennedy was an integral part of the avant-garde off-Broadway theater movement of the 60s. Her plays were being produced by Joseph Papp and La Mama Experimental Theater. Like her plays, she's written her memoir in an unconventional form. It's a scrapbook of memories, each reflection given its own paragraph and title. When I spoke with Adrienne Kennedy, I asked her why she took this time to look back on her life.
I felt that I was losing these people, and I really don't want to lose them, because I think about them all the time, and I really did not want to lose these people, and I felt it's about time I tried to get them down. It was about time.
I'm going to ask you to read several entries from your memoir and discuss them. Can we start with Jack and Jill?
Mm-hmm. Jack and Jill went up a hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. "What's a crown?" I asked my mother. "His head," she said.
You know, I always wondered that, too. When I heard Jack and Jill, I had no idea what a crown was. But in reading your book, it struck me that you were probably much more attuned to language and to words that you didn't understand, and you probably really needed to understand those words.
Well, I remember sitting in the kitchen with my mother, the nursery rhymes, you know, the book in front of me. And I would always ask her many, many questions. And that's that image of sitting in the kitchen, maybe before dinner, asking my mother questions about the nursery rhymes.
Another entry I want you to read. Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire after seeing their movies.
Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire after seeing their movies. Gracefulness must be sought. It's possible the sublime could exist in your daily life. That means a lot to me, because many times Ohio or Cleveland seemed dark to me. And Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies really just inspired me. And I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if I could just dance through life like that?
Is one of the reasons that you loved movies and books because they became a way of getting the sublime into your ordinary life?
Very much so. I'm not sure why, but I always felt that Cleveland was far away from anything exotic or romantic. And of course, we always went to the movies on Saturday afternoon. Every kid in our school went to the movies on Saturday afternoon. It was called the Waldorf. And those people were just a total symbol of the sublime.
Even the name of the movie theater.
Yes. You know, they were very fancy then, even the neighborhood movie theater. One was called the Waldorf and the other one was called the Imperial. So you can imagine.
Could you read the entry called Negroes?
Negroes. We were underdogs, and underdogs must fight in life.
Were there certain occasions where your parents would sit you down and talk to you about how Negroes had to work extra hard because they were underdogs?
My parents believe that intensely, that American blacks have to really work 100% in order to get the recognition or the credit that we deserve, very much so.
So you became quite an achiever in school.
Extremely. I was extremely competitive, and I wanted to get all A's, all gold stars, all silver stars. It's very important to me, very important to my parents also.
Could you read Miss Edwards about your eighth grade teacher?
Yes. Miss Edwards. My eighth grade English teacher taught Shelley, Keats, Byron, Wordsworth. The words poetic, lyrical, romantic suggested that writers led meaningful, significant lives. And as they expressed sorrow and great happiness, they were still often misfits, at odds with society, thoughts a 13-year-old Negro girl responded to.
You know, I think a lot of people respond to artists and to the arts because they feel like outsiders themselves.
Yes. It seems to me at 12, I guess like a lot of people, I felt quite miserable. And it was just wonderful to hear that these people felt like outsiders, and that they were always fighting society. That was very comforting, extremely comforting.
And that made you want to be a writer?
I wasn't aware of it, of course, at that age, but I think images of writers rebelling and writers being exiles and writers criticizing society was something that really, really took hold in my imagination.
Another entry, My Dorm Mates at Ohio State College.
My dorm mates at Ohio State. Often from southern Ohio towns, they were determined to subjugate the Negro girls. They were determined to make you feel it was a great inequity that they had to live in the same dorm with you, an injustice. This dark reality was later to give great impetus and energy to my dreams.
How did that give impetus to your dreams?
It made me angry. It made me angry because there were 13, most of the time I was at Ohio State, 4 years, there were usually between 8 and 13 Negro girls in the dorm. And there were about 600 girls in the dorm, so you can imagine. I mean, we were a tiny, tiny bunch. And people were just quite cruel. They took it quite for granted. And it just made me angry, and I think very often I said to myself, one day I'm going to show them. One day I'm going to prove that these people are not superior to me, no matter how much they try to pretend they are. It made me very, very angry.
Coming from an ethnically mixed neighborhood, were you unprepared for the kind of discrimination you found in college?
I was unprepared for it. Glenville was the high school I went to, I guess, was about half Jewish, and the rest was a mixture of black and other nationalities. I'm not sure whether it was an illusion, but we were competitive, but yet we seemed to mingle quite freely together, and I was unprepared for the kind of separate thing that Negroes were in at Ohio State. I was very unprepared for it.
I get the impression that you're actually a very shy person in many ways, and if that's true, I'm sure that didn't help in in trying to break into a field as competitive as the theater.
I've never understood that contradiction about myself because I am shy. At the same time, I'm also a very determined person, and I'm not really sure how it really fits in, except that I am a person who can send my manuscript to 12 million publishers, and it's, you know, rejected by all 12 million, or 12 million producers. And that seems to somehow compensate for my shyness.
Do you think you were looked at as being an unusual creature because you were a black woman playwright? And that we're talking about the mid-60s here, or the early 60s.
You know, at the time, I mean, you know, first, you know, there was Lorraine Hansberry, and there were a small group of women playwrights, I think, you know, Megan Terry, Rosalind Drexler. There were a small group. I think I thought of myself as an off-Broadway playwright in those days, and an off-Broadway playwright when I started to have plays at La Mama. I think that's how I defined myself, and that's what gave me a sense of security. And those were the people that I ended up talking to on the telephone or seeing, or those were the people that I got grants with. And I think that's what really gave me my definition at the time.
Part of your story is about being a black middle-class girl coming of age. And I wonder if you think that in many ways the lives of black middle-class people have been underdocumented.
I feel that very strongly. It's very funny that you should say that. I have very strong feelings about that. Because there are many black middle-class people in America, and yet they have been underdocumented. These are just people who are hardworking, get up every day, go to work, save their money, push their kids to do well. It's mysterious to me why our lives haven't been written about more. It's quite mysterious.
Well, Adrian Kennedy, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
I really want to thank you very much, Terry, for having me.
Adrian Kennedy's memoir is called People Who Led to My Plays. She spoke to us from the NPR studios in New York.